Well, good morning. I gotta tell you, this still feels strange and stuff like that. Tim and Julie are here. Lenny's here to help out with some singing. And Lisa, Chuck decided since he's in the church anyway, he might as well come and join us. And we're all spread out in here. And there are those of you who I know are online watching us. Thank you for joining us. A couple things. We will not be having any activities here at church again this week. I know it pains me to say that, but trying to keep up with the governor's orders and the stuff going on, we're going to suspend anything for this week. We don't really know what's going to go on. And next week is Palm Sunday, and then the week after that is Easter, and we still don't know. So until such time as we can gather together, we will keep doing this online and streaming. I know that these times are really crazy. All we need to do is to look around at our world, and it's filled with so much fear and anxiety and so much uncertainty, some of which may be camping inside of us. I mean, every day it seems to bring another crashing wave of some disheartening news or unanswered questions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul encourages his believers who had lost loved ones not to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And I believe that in these troubled times that we are facing today, these times of anxiousness and anxiety, that Paul would tell us who follow Jesus, those of us who are Christ followers, believers, not to live like the rest of men who have no hope. See, this is not a time for us to live in fear or anxiety or even in panic, because we have a hope. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and of timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. There are two major points that I want us to talk about today. One is remember that, and the other is therefore we. But before we go on, I want to show you what I have up here in this little treasure chest. Look at this. It's a roll of toilet paper. And we make light of it and stuff like that because sometimes that's the best way for us to handle with it. And there has been such a run on toilet paper. This past week I went to Safeway, and you could actually buy toilet paper if you want, single rolls, 50 cents each, but you could only buy four at a time if you wanted them. But I also have something else in here. It is this. Purell. Now, we laugh, but we were on the cruise ship for 2 weeks, and while we were on that cruise ship, I washed my hands so much, I could have bathed in Purell and things like that. I do construction, and right now construction is considered essential here in Oregon, and one of the houses I'm working on, the family has isolated themselves from the part we're working at, and the older gentleman has had heart issues, and his immune system is compromised. And so before I walk into our section of the house, I wash with Purell, and we're doing everything we can to keep them safe, and they stay isolated from us, and we do all of that. And sometimes we have to kind of, I don't know, make light of the situation. Otherwise, it would just get us down. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to encourage you. Encourage you that God is still in control. Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 55. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, don't you think that right now we could use some of God's thoughts? I'm going to be sharing a lot of scripture with you this morning, and on our Facebook, on Facebook, I will post it later on if Tim hasn't already done it, but you can also get on the church website where all of the scripture will be listed for you to go over if you want to, so you don't have to try to frantically write them down while we're going through them. Here's the deal. I am confident today that because God's word is alive and God's word is active, it will accomplish its purpose. In times like these, we need to remember that God is still on his throne. Isaiah chapter 6 at verse 1, it reads, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now that might seem like a really strange verse unless you think about it. And we read those seven words and we like to pass over them because we like to get to the next part. And I'll get to that in a couple moments. But what you need to understand is that King Uzziah had been king of Israel for some 55 years, and he was a good king. So what do you think the nation of Israel was feeling at the time when King Uzziah died? They were feeling troubled and uncertain about their future. Who was going to be their next king? Would he even be a good king? And God knew exactly what his people needed to see and needed to hear in those anxious and uncertain times. And that is that he was still on his throne. And so Isaiah chapter 6, it continues in the second half of verse 1. It goes on, it says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Here's one more word about God being on his throne from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 and 22. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. See, at times like these, we need to remember that God is still on his throne. But we also need to remember that our God is in control. In Matthew chapter 28 at verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So what kind of authority does God have? What kind of authority does Jesus have? He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and that is why we can read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If you think back to just before Jesus was born, when Caesar Augustus, he issues this decree and he calls for a census to be taken of the entire Roman world. You see, he thought that he was in control of the situation, in control of the census. However, that was just God's way of getting Joseph where he needed to be there in Bethlehem at the time that Jesus was born, which had been foretold by the prophet Micah some hundreds of years earlier. In times like these, we need to remember that our God is still on the throne, that our God is in control. And we need to remember that our God can be trusted. Listen to these words from Psalms chapter 28, verse 7. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. In Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endure forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. At times like these, we need to remember that our God is still on the throne, that our God is in control, that our God can be trusted, and that our God is our help. Psalms 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It does not come from the CDC or from the news media. It doesn't come from Washington or evil. That didn't come out right. Even from the Oval Office. Verse 2 continues of Psalms 121. It tells us where our hope comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. See, in times like these, we need to remember that our God is still on the throne, that our God is in control, that our God can be trusted, that he is our help. Now, understand, we could go on all day long sharing about things that we need to remember about our God and what he is and what he can do at times like these. Things like our God is faithful. Our God keeps his promises. Our God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Father of all compassion and the God of comfort. However, I want to mention just one more thing for you to remember, and that is that our God is great and that he is good. Psalms 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." Do you understand? We're talking about a God here who breathed out all of the stars. The one who holds the oceans in the palm of his hands. The one who stretched out all the heavens. Jeremiah 32, 17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you." In Luke chapter 1 at verse 37, the King James Version says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Psalms 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." In these troubled and anxious and uncertain times that we are facing, when we remember that our God is still on the throne, that he is in control, that he can be trusted, that our God is our help, and that he is great and he is good, we will not fear, for we will trust. Psalms 23, verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalms 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then verse 3, it goes on and it says, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Listen to that last line one more time. "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Listen to these words from Psalm 46. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come, and when the mountains crumble into the sea." Now, I want to take that verse, the second verse, and I want to tweak it for you just a little bit to make it applicable today. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And so we will not fear when the coronavirus spreads, when the stock market crashes, or when people are running around in a panic and in chaos. And then Psalms 46 at verse 3, it continues and said, "Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and the kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts." And listen to verse 7. It says, "The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress." You see, our God is still on his throne. He is in control. He can be trusted. He is our help and he is great and good. So we will not fear. We will trust. And we will not worry. We will pray. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. and store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, they run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Check out these words that are written by Paul while he's sitting in a Roman prison, found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the deal. Here's what I want to challenge you with the rest of today and into the coming weeks. Spend more time dwelling on these passages or any other passage. Spend time in God's presence, worshiping him, singing songs to him, focusing on him. And see what happens. See if you're not experiencing a little more peace and calmness. You see, in these troubled and these anxious and these uncertain times, when we remember that our God is still on his throne, that he is in control, that he can be trusted, that he is our help, that he is great and that he is good, we will not fear, we will trust. And we will not worry, we will pray. And because of that, we will be a light and we will live differently. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, we need to understand that we need to live differently. Not living in fear and in panic, but in this calmness. And having a peace around us, knowing that God is in control. And when we do, we may have an opportunity to turn a coronavirus conversation into a God conversation. Now, oddly enough, this actually happened to me this past week. On Tuesday, I was working out in Newburgh in an apartment complex. The apartment is unrented right now, and they're getting ready to rent it out. And I was putting in a tile liner, and the contractor came in, and we were having this conversation about the coronavirus, and he's laid off and stuff like that because they have no jobs. People are afraid to let him into the houses and things like that. And we were talking, and then as we were talking, I told him, hey, I'm a pastor at a church and stuff like that, and we got in this conversation. And he said he used to go to church, but he kind of stopped years ago because of the hypocrisy and all the things that were going on. But he did say a short prayer and stuff like that. And I told him I'd be praying for him and stuff. See, when people are uncertain and they're out there and they're not sure what's going on with this coronavirus and they see something different in us, then they may want to know what that is. And that is God. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. I mean, don't you want people to ask you why you're so calm? Why you are so peaceful and hopeful right now in the midst of all this chaos and all the turmoil that's going on? Now, this is how Paul reacted to being in prison. In Philippians chapter 1 at verse 12, he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. You see, in these troubled, anxious, and uncertain times, when we remember that our God is still on his throne, that he is in control, that he can be trusted, that he is our help, that he is great and good. We will not fear. We will not worry. And we will be a light that lives differently. And we will show compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he continues it at verse 37, and he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. As Christians, as Christ followers, we are those workers. We somehow need to be making a difference in the people's lives around us. We need to have compassion for people, for their fears, for their concerns, and for their needs. Look for opportunities where you might be able to help someone else. Maybe it's making a food run for them or a medicine run. Maybe it's just being an encouragement, an encouraging word, or a way to help them. See, in these troubled and anxious and uncertain times, when we remember that our God is on his throne, that he's in control, that he can be trusted, that our God is our help, and that he is great and good, we will not worry, we will not fear. We will live differently, and we will show compassion, and we will pray for healing. For the healing of our city, of our nation, and of our world. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, at verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You see, there is something when we pray, something that happens. God is moved when his people pray. And when we ask him to help, he is more than willing to. He is delighted to. You see, when we think of these uncertain and anxious and troubled times, when we remember that our God is still on his throne, that he is in control, that he can be trusted, that he's our help, that our God is great and good, we will not fear, we will trust. We will not worry, we will pray. We will be a light that lives differently, and we will show compassion. And we will pray for healing. And we will do all of that by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Not on the crisis, not on the news media that's going on all around us, not on the fear or the panic or the chaos that is taking place, not on the tweets or the posts that are out there, although some of the memes are awful fun to look at. We will not focus on the wind and the wave that is going on around us, but we will focus, we will fix our eyes on Jesus. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus, the disciples are out in the water and they're in the middle of the storm. And Jesus comes walking out to them. And at verse 27, it says, immediately Jesus said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And so whether it's in this sanctuary right now this morning or you're streaming live or maybe you're watching a little bit later on in your house or in your car, on your phone or on your computer, remember that our God is still on his throne. That he is in control, that he can be trusted, that he is our help, and that our God is great, and that he is good. And so we will not fear, we will trust. We will not worry, we will pray. And we will be a light, we will live differently. We will show compassion, and we will pray for healing for our city, for our nation, for our world. And we will do all of that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who is our anchor in a time of storm. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 and through 26, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May you experience peace as you keep your eyes focused on Jesus in the coming days.